Grace to you and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God created the man Adam on the sixth day of creation. Before forming Eve from Adam's rib, God informed Adam of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God there commanded Adam not to eat of that one singular tree. That was Adam's opportunity to show true love for God and obedience to God willingly. In his perfection, that would be Adam's true desire to submit to the gracious will and promise and love of God. Even as a perfect creature, Adam was not an independent being. He was still in need of God and always would be, as are we. Simple trust in that word of God was all God asked, and that is all that is needed. Adam would have shared this gracious word from God with his wife Eve once she had been formed. Created in the very image of God and being perfect, whole, and complete, the temptation from sin came from outside of them. With Adam's eating of that fruit from the forbidden tree, all innocence was lost. Guilt and shame were introduced to God's children, and sin would only grow and spread and worsen from there. And while Satan, as the serpent, was truly guilty for deceiving Eve, who gave the fruit to her husband Adam to eat, the responsibility for their sin was theirs alone. The word of God was more than enough to withstand that temptation of the devil. And so as a result of this fall into sin, God gave out justice for sin through the curses upon the serpent, upon the woman, and upon the man. There in the curse upon the serpent, we hear the first promise of the Savior that would come into the world. God there said to the serpent, I will put enmity, that is hatred, between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now, that word alone would be the foundation of the one true faith of all of God's Old Testament people. For in that word was the prophecy that God would unite with man to defeat sin, to defeat death, and to defeat the power of the devil. Who alone has the power to defeat Satan? It is God. God would then be the crusher of Satan's head. And yet God stated that the crusher of Satan's head would be also the offspring of the woman. Offspring of women are humans. And so this offspring, a son, would also be God. Such is the first promise of the Son of God becoming Son of Man, the Word becoming flesh. Now, many Christians have argued throughout the centuries that Eve believed her firstborn son, Cain, was that God-man, the promised defeater of Satan. And while our English translations most often say the words of Eve as, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord, Luther and many others translated those words as, I have gotten a man, the Lord. Compare that promise of God in the garden and that belief with the many manifestations of God throughout the Old Testament in human-like forms. You have the very solid foundation for the pre-incarnation belief in the coming incarnation of the Son of God. Well, God then laid out his plan for all of mankind's salvation through the coming years of history. The Savior would indeed come through the line of Adam and Eve, eventually then through the house of one man named Abraham. The Hebrew people, descendants of Abraham, they would be enslaved for 400 years. The nation of Egypt. God sent Moses to be a type of Savior, a type of Christ for his people. And through the man Moses, God brought 10 plagues of judgment upon the unbelieving Egyptians, ultimately leading to the freedom of God's people, the Hebrews. The children of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob now were set free to be the people of God. And so they were sent into the wilderness. They were granted opportunity again and again to show true thankfulness and praise to the one true God, to Yahweh himself, and to do so by their faithfulness to him, their trust simply in his great word of provision, of grace, and of care. But as Adam had failed before, so his descendants had failed again. The nation of Israel was still not that promised offspring who would crush Satan's head. After hundreds of years of this back and forth, Israel and Judah promising faithfulness to God, then falling away from Yahweh God, the promise made in the garden finally came true. Fulfilling a later prophecy of the virgin conceiving a son, Jesus was born into the world. Jesus was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, marking him as the one who is from on high, from God himself. And yet he was truly born of woman, the offspring of Mary, the offspring of Eve. The angels came. They sang at the birth of this one Lord Jesus, announcing that Yahweh, the Christ himself, had entered into the world. Simeon announced Jesus, the babe he held in his arms, as the light to the nations and the glory of God's people Israel. Even Magi, Gentiles from the east, came to fall down before the babe Jesus. And Jesus grew. He grew in wisdom and in stature before God and before man. And then he came to that moment at the Jordan River, to be baptized by John. Having then joined with Israel in going through waters yet again, and there into the promised land, Jesus was led by the Spirit out into the wilderness in order to be tempted by Satan. Jesus was baptized for that very moment, for that very purpose. And the Spirit of God showed that purpose by descending on Jesus like a dove. And the Father came forth with his voice from heaven announcing Jesus as his eternally begotten and beloved Son. So the scene was set. The rematch between the serpent and Adam had finally come. Only this time, Adam was new and improved. Truly, the first Adam lacked nothing in his nature, only needing to cling to God alone, and he would defeat the tempter's great power. Tragically, he was deceived. Trusted not in the word of God and submitted to Satan's lie. The new Adam was just like the old, but also more. Fully man, Jesus was also fully God. Satan had no hope whatsoever of beating Jesus. But Satan, as he is, had to try. He had God the Son in a vulnerable human created form. Or so he thought. But it was not a fair fight. It was never meant to be a fair fight. God's plan of salvation was destined to work. It was sure to work. God would never leave it to chance. Jesus had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, likely being tempted each and every moment throughout that time. And there, suffering with great hunger and malnutrition, he faced the final three temptations of Satan at that moment. Feed yourself by turning these stones into bread. So easy for Jesus to do. The Israelites had grumbled throughout their wandering in the wilderness, having to eat so much manna that had come forth from heaven. Jesus clung to the simple word of God as his source of power and strength. Taken then to the very pinnacle of the temple, Jesus was tempted to show off his great power and his rule over the angels by saying he would jump from the temple and they would come and they would rescue him. Satan was even able to take Jesus to a high mountain and show him all of the powerful kingdoms of the world and their glory, and Satan would give it all to Jesus for one price. Worship him. How absurd. There was to be no testing of God, Jesus said, and the first commandment proved to be most powerful. You shall have no other gods. Worship him only. But that is where Adam and Eve had failed. They believed that they could be like God. Be as their own gods. They believed that they could indeed do better than God himself. And in so doing, Adam and Eve, they denied themselves, denied their own nature as creatures, thus pitting themselves against God Almighty. Without a doubt, the Lord Jesus resisted those temptations of the devil. Well, Satan would indeed retreat, but he would strike again at various times through Jesus' ministry. But Jesus would always succeed. For Jesus is the promised Savior, the champion of the Israelites and of all people, the one whom God himself elected, the valiant one, as we have sung. For in him alone, this new Adam, the perfect man, he is our substitutionary brother. Countless sinners throughout the time of this world have failed to love God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their strength, with all their mind, and yet God knows each and every one of them. But sinners continue to fail in keeping their promises to God. You and I, we let God down each and every day. We let each other down again and again and again. But the one Lord Jesus Christ has gloriously triumphed, or we have all failed and been defeated. For Jesus alone has won the victory by his own suffering and death upon the cross. And his resurrection guarantees that you too shall rise to be new and improved forevermore. For the best version of yourself is still to come, to be revealed on that last and final day. Until then, bask in the glory of Jesus and boast in his work for you and all mankind. Amen. Now the peace that passes all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.